It's Mail It In Friday, brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer.
I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Yeah, it's Mail It In Friday.
I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working.
So what?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
And we're off and running on Mail It In Friday, brought to you by our friends at Old Tomorrow Craft Beer. Just like Canada, Old Tomorrow Canadian Pale Ale is feisty but polite. You're awesome, Canada. So is our beer. It's been a while since Noodles was not in here. Like during the hockey season, because he calls so many Ottawa games.
He's gone twice a week.
It felt as if at times he would be gone two, three times a week. Realistically, he only missed like 30 shows. But there were times where it felt like he was gone a lot. And when he was gone, a lot of times our good buddy Jonas Siegel from the Canadian Press would be in here.
Yes, guy.
And we've missed out on that for about a month and a half. But look who has made his way back in the studio.
What is happening?
What is up, Jonas Siegel?
How does it feel as a, as a Leaf fan that the Sens are in the conference final?
Don't care.
Don't care?
Happy for them.
What do you think of Trudeau?
What does that have to do with this show?
I don't know.
Well, you want to hear what Trudeau had to say earlier today?
Go ahead.
He was in town.
I wasn't just asking you your general thoughts. Yeah, did you Justin Trudeau?
Imagine he went off and said,
I saw something on Twitter. It was like he backs the Sens or...
No, it's your typical Canadian, hey, everyone root for the Canadian team stance.
Any sports fan?
We have the clip?
Yeah, let's play it.
I think all Canadians will be rooting for the final Canadian team in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We're all happy to support Ottawa right now. Even Torontonians and Montrealers can agree on this particular one.
Everyone with a round of applause. You don't represent me with that comment. This thing drives me nuts. Every single year we have the same conversation.
You're not a Sens fan right now?
Absolutely not.
I am. Why not?
It's the dumbest take on earth.
Yes.
That because there is a team that happens to reside in the same country that I live in, I, for whatever reason, have to be a fan. It's the dumbest
it's
take.
An
That's
insult.
A bad attitude, Mr.
Why? It's an insult to
what do
sports
you care?
Fans.
You don't even cheer for a team. So do you,
no,
what
it's
is
true.
It? Yeah, so...
So should wait, should all the states, the people in the United States who only, if all their teams get eliminated, they just cheer for the American team?
Look, we don't have to get in an argument about it. If you want to cheer for them, great. If you don't, that's your prerogative too.
Yeah, but right? Have a take. You're saying you're okay with it.
I'm totally okay with it. I'm cheering for the Sens.
Because they're Canadian.
That's right. Go Sens, go. Go Carlson, go.
See, it's one thing to say I want to watch Erik Karlsson.
Sure.
We had a poll question yesterday asking Leaf fans of the former Leaf players or coaches who are still alive, if you had to pick one to root for, who would it be? Randy Carlyle, Phil Kessel, or Dion Phaneuf? I don't think I ever made my case, but I would go with Dion because...
Tired of the way Dion's being treated in this city.
He did get treated. Like, all for whatever reason, it's become... Just the norm. There's a fly like flying around the studio. This place is just, it's been driving me nuts all week, what's been going on in here. It really is. But anyway, for whatever reason, it's gotten to a point where Phil Kessel was treated worse than anybody in the history of Toronto.
You think that's like how people think about it now?
I get that impression that people feel like he was run out of the town and he was crucified. And the Simmons hot dog story really kind of amplifies it and brings it to a bit of a different level.
Well, other than that, they gave him $64 million and let him do whatever the hell he wanted to do. So I don't think that's being run out of town.
Dion was treated way worse and way more unfairly than Phil. Way more unfairly.
You'd really think that?
Oh, not even
what
close.
What the hell was so unfair about it?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Based on the breakdown of his game, I would take calls back when I was still doing the Hayes Show, and people would call up. Multiple people saying he should be in the American Hockey League. Like, that's how bad of a defenseman he was. That's how horrible the takes were. It's one thing if you don't like him, you want him out of town, you didn't want him to be your captain. But if you actually believed that Dion Phaneuf was an American Hockey League defenseman, Phil never got that.
Yeah,
no one claimed Carlisle wasn't an NHL coach. Phil never got the, this guy sucks, he should be with the Marlies.
No, he Dion got sucked got into the routine. Vacuum of they were horrible defensively, and he was the captain, and he was on the ice a lot, and there was a lot of nights it wasn't pretty. What, is he a competitor? Did he care? Yes, but he shouldn't have been the captain, and he shouldn't have signed that. That contract should have never been awarded to him, and that's where the problems came.
Yeah, but see, I think Phil took way more heat because he didn't look like he was trying hard, like most of the time. So people like looked at him and said, you're the best player, you're not trying hard, the team sucks, it's your fault. Like Dion, people always sort of knew he wasn't as good as what he was being paid to be. You know what I mean? Like, I just think people hate, I don't know.
Well, Dion was really polarizing. I think Dion got it worse. I think people appreciated Phil's skill. And Phil was a guy, he was a winger, so he was a guy that people knew wasn't going to factor into the outcome of the game as much as a number one defenseman, just based on the way the sport is played. So Dion was going to factor into more of the events, the high.
He played more.
And he played way more, right? He killed penalties, was on the power play, averaged 23, 24 minutes a night. Phil wasn't going to possibly rack up those kind of minutes and be in those kind of situations. But I think people, even the ones that hated Phil's persona, hated how he maybe looked lazy at times, how he was out of shape, how he approached the offseason, even the biggest hater still looked at it and said, 35 goals is mighty impressive, and I don't mind it on my team. There were people that hated Dion, like everything about him they hated.
Well, how much of it do you think was like the public persona of both guys? Especially Dion. Dion was the captain. Dion looked awkward in his interviews. Like, he didn't come off. Like, you know how, like, Riley comes off well and people like how he talks? And
for me, Dion did one thing that was incredibly stupid, and Noodles will argue this till he dies. The idea of him saying that the salute gate was just a change in the routine, he looked like an idiot saying that. It was completely ridiculous. To say it's part of your changing your game day routine, and it was after a game, after a win, like that was bad.
That was really bad. I think that was partially the PR staff talking to them and saying, "How are we going to?"
There
try
was
to
no
sell
way
this?
A PR person would go up to Dion Phaneuf and say, "Say this."
Oh, I think that would happen.
You are completely wrong.
Part of
dead
it is
wrong.
Like he wasn't comfortable being like the face of the
I would
team.
Bet every staff member of the Maple Leafs. excuse me. Would have said, you figure out what you're going to say because I'm not touching this.
But how, you
you're
can't
the idiots
that
decided to do this, and you figure out what you're going to tell them. And that's what he came up with. And it sounded ridiculous. It looked ridiculous. And it was not good.
Isn't that the job of the PR guy, though, to try to put out a fire?
Well, then he's an idiot if that was his idea.
I'm just saying. I
wouldn't
be surprised.
And Dion's an idiot for believing it to be a good idea, and I'm going to go with it.
What do you think he should have said?
Huh?
What should he have said?
He should have just came clean and said, we were pissed off and we did something stupid.
Yeah, you're right. But again, like that's all public how he looks.
We understand now the fans really appreciate the salute, and we'll never do that again. We're moving forward. Very simple.
It was Phil's idea. That's what he should have said.
Well, by all accounts, it was Phil's idea.
It was.
Shocking.
It was absolutely Phil's idea.
Yeah, you saw him go up to Dion. There's video of it going, I don't think we should raise our sticks today.
Also,
such an idiot.
The other thing that's changed is Phil won a cup. And Phil's perceived differently now than he was when he left.
Absolutely.
People like recognize now what we were saying at that time, that Phil's a good player. He just needs more good players around him and better players than him around him.
To be honest with you, all three of those guys landed in perfect scenarios because they're protected by the players around them.
And
Randy Carlisle and the markets. Randy Carlisle went to a top five team in the league. So guess what? He's coached them into a conference final. He's done what he's supposed to do. Randy couldn't take a bottom 10 team in the league and move them up the standings.
Mm-hmm.
Was not capable of doing that. But he can, clearly, take a top 5 team and play to their expectations. And that's what he's done with Anaheim. You are very critical of Carlisle. You've got to admit
there
the guy.
There are a lot of measures you can look at that the Ducks got worse this year under Carlisle.
Dude, they're in the conference final. Are you high?
Jonas,
they barely
are you high?
It's the dumbest
Did you watch
man.
That
Get the
series?
Ball, should he go?
Get the poll. Should he go?
No, it's just it's such a dumb take. Though,
it's
Jones.
Not a dumb
at
take. Some,
but
get
at some poll. Point,
should he leave?
You can't just measure just on like the final result. You have to look at the process of how they got
they
there.
They won the division.
They
didn't
barely
they?
Beat them.
Like, they won the division. They won the and division. Now they're in the conference final.
They won the division. Okay.
That's the problem. What are you talking?
What do you mean that's the problem? That's fact.
There's an argument that they're worse under
no,
Carlisle.
No, it's not an argument. They are. High. They did get worse. Okay.
But Jonas.
They did get worse.
Here's the problem with that.
What have they won, by the way?
They haven't won anything.
Right.
You're absolutely right. They have not won anything.
And if
but,
they
but
lose,
what has Bruce Boudreaux won? The guy who coached them to all these analytic awards. When do the analytic
yeah, but
awards
that's stupid.
Get
that's not what does that argument mean?
But it's the counter to your stupid argument.
No, it's like you want a good process. That's what analytics is telling you.
But the process is all about leading to the result.
Sure.
If you have the result,
yes,
Jonas,
I agree with you
stop talking about the process.
Just read this text from a former hockey player.
That's the point, Jonas. I'm with you about process and doing the right things.
He doesn't believe in it.
And everyone's come aboard.
Just read that out loud from
the
a
possession
former hockey
game.
Player, the bottom line.
Don't
bozo.
Swear.
Yeah, that's you. You're a bozo.
You can tell him he's a bozo.
Yeah, well, he isn't.
But
and
the
you know who that's from.
Yeah, I'm aware of who it is.
You can say. I'm not ashamed.
I'm not either. I'm not going to sewer him. No, that's what
well, it's one of
do.
Two guys. There's only two guys you ever hand the phone over. Only two guys you hand
Bozo.
The phone over to. Anyway.
Oh, boy.
But, Jonas.
All right, fine. We can,
you
we
just
can
sometimes
that.
You've got to admit that like this year.
He has done fine.
Let's be honest. This year has not been the greatest year for the analytics. The push that analytics mean more than anything else. It really hasn't. Now maybe that's just an aberration.
Nashville's and pretty good.
Nashville's very good.
But you're like I
but
don't know
so
what,
is Boston.
I don't
and
know what your argument is.
Ottawa.
He took a team that we all regard as like a cup team and is taking them close to the cup. Like fine.
But why is that not an accomplishment?
It's fine. Okay, it is.
But you're the one that can't. You do not have it in you to admit that Carlisle can get a job.
I think a coach should take a team that's not as good and make them better. He has taken a team that's good and gotten them to where they should go.
We gotta move. I
so
can't
they're consistent.
Today. We gotta do some other stuff.
What's with you today? About? Why are you? You're in a horrible mood.
No, I'm not. I'm in a good mood. But this guy, he's making ridiculous comments like that. We're not gonna give it the time of day. It's just crazy talk. They're in the conference final. They won their division.
The point I was making was. Randy's in the right spot. Phil's in the right spot because he's protected by Sid and Malkin and others. And Dion's in the right spot because he's protected by Carlson. No one talks about Phaneuf. No one has to focus on Phaneuf because Erik Karlsson plays 30 minutes a night, and he's the best defenseman in the world. So all of these guys have moved on to the perfect situation.
Dion's a $7 million defenseman that gets a hall pass just to be kind of a steady Eddie guy.
Right.
Which is ultimately probably what he is.
Exactly what he is.
Yeah.
And in Ottawa, like they're kind of cool with that. Like, you talk to the team, you talk to players, management, like, they're like, he's a great leader, he's a great personality. They're kind of fine that he's what he is.
Right, exactly.
Whereas and here, like, it was different. He was supposed to be their best defenseman.
It's paying dividends right now. You know, they're a team, again, that is in a very good spot. They're in the conference final. I'm just...
Does that vindicate the trade for Ottawa?
I'm sure they would say it does.
I'm sure they would.
And it was a trade that obviously made sense for both teams. There's no bitterness in Toronto. Like, this kind of stuff had to happen. Those guys all had to go.
But do you think taking a step back, like, it actually is a good thing for them if this is what they get? Like, let's say this is all they do. They just go to a conference final, and then the next, what does he have, 3 or 4 years left? 3?
I think he has 3 after this.
So let's say they just are whatever. They don't make it this far again. Is it fine?
Well, as long as he plays up to his capability. Is he going to play like a $7 million guy? No, but as long as he's not playing like he's a $900,000 player, I'm sure they can justify it because they're also a team that they don't spend to the cap. They're not in the same situation as a lot of other teams where every cent matters.
Right.
They're not going to be a cap team. So it may catch up to them when Carlson is up in a couple of years.
Good point.
Maybe at that point they say, okay, we've got to shed some money, but that's a conversation for 2 years down the road. I'm sure they're happy with Dion. Anyway, I'm glad Jonas is in here because your boy James Harden is taking a beating
Yikes.
Today. And this is probably the best example of why awards for the regular season should be awarded right after the regular season.
They're voted on.
They're voted on, but no one knows who won.
Why is he taking a beating to going to the strippers with Kylie and...
No, he was horrible last night.
Oh, he was a joke. What did he make? Two shots?
Yeah, he was. He ended up with 10 points, but he turned the ball over six times.
He looked weird.
He looked very lethargic. I don't know.
There's a good pic of just a beard covering his eyes.
Well, and the Jordan face was in the beard as well. I mean, that obviously you knew that was going to circulate. But he was at the club after the game, and this kind of feels like the World Hockey Championship conversation to me. Like, people freak out that Ovechkin every year after he loses, a couple of days later he flies to Europe. I would say optically, going to the club after a game like that last night is way worse than going to the World Hockey Championship.
Your season's over. Yeah, why wouldn't you go to the club?
But then why does everyone in the hockey world hate that Ovechkin goes to the Worlds every year?
They're stupid.
Because they think he doesn't put enough passion and caring into what's going on, and he's just always so, yeah, I'm out of here, I'm going. People are always like, was that really what was on his mind, the World Championships? Did he even care?
Okay.
I think people wanted him to say, I'm just devastated from this loss. I can't pick myself up emotionally to go to the World Championships. So going to the club is not even on the same playing field.
But couldn't you argue the same thing? That if watching him in the club, Rockets fans are saying, was he thinking at halftime, where am I going after the game? Am I going to the club? Did
you ever
really
go
care?
To the club after work?
All the time.
Okay.
So well, not all the time, but...
A club people don't write in pub. Here saying, well, Brian, why is he at the
my
club?
My point is, I don't care what these guys do, but I also don't care if Ovechkin goes to the Worlds, but in the hockey community, for whatever reason, that means he's a horrible Washington Capital.
Agreed.
And he's a horrible leader.
You're talking two different things. The guy
how are they off. Different?
The guy went to the bar.
Exactly. What is the difference between going to a bar and going to play at the Worlds when the season is over?
Well, ask yourself the same question. The bar and going overseas to play in another tournament.
I'm saying
the bar is just a normal, real-life thing. Like
he's saying they're both the same.
I'm saying they're both the same. They're meaningless. It's harmless. I don't care. But why is it that people take runs at hockey players when they go to the Worlds? Because in their minds, it shows that they didn't care enough about their club team.
What are the runs they're taking at Harden for going to the...
Well, people are saying optically it looks horrible. You were awful last night. You were abysmal last night.
Well,
and then you're at the club right after the game.
These are the same losers that have jobs, and every time they have a bad day, they go home and guzzle a bottle of Grey Goose and get pissed drunk so they can shut their mouth.
But you wait, know that it's a different world.
Aren't you saying that it's not okay that Ovechkin just goes to the Worlds? Like, you're contradicting yourself, aren't you?
Dude, you are really starting to get on my nerves.
Do you want to leave?
No, this is my seat every day.
I'll leave.
Answer the question. You're fine with players going to the Worlds. You don't care.
You're saying after the game he doesn't need to drown his sorrows, but you're also saying that Ovechkin should be drowning his sorrows after they lose by just staying in Washington and crying himself to sleep.
Well, for Ovechkin, it's been a long time where it's every year going to the Worlds. I think for the fans of the Washington Capitals, I'm not talking about myself. The fans of the Washington Capitals were like, isn't there one year where he's like just devastated mentally?
Wouldn't the same thing apply with Harden going to the club? Why isn't Harden going home and watching game tape and devastated that he played horribly and his season's done? Why is it okay for a guy to go to a club an hour after the game, but it's not okay for a player to go to the Worlds 2 days after they're out? I'm saying it's the exact same thing, and I don't understand why one is acceptable, but one isn't acceptable.
I'm saying it isn't. We're allowed to have our own opinions on this. There's no.
I know, but I'm saying your take is a terrible take.
No, it's not a
terrible
take.
It's a really horrible take that, for whatever reason, going to the club is all good, but going to represent your country 2 days later shows that you're not into the regular season.
What about coming out 4 days before the playoff starts and says, no matter what, I'm going to the Olympics?
I hated that. I thought that looked awful.
Yeah, it's just...
That's way worse than going to the Worlds after.
Forever.
And I don't think it's a good look. I don't think concentrating on what you're going to do a year from now and outing yourself as a guy who's going to bail on his team next season is a good look or
and
sends the
Harden
right message.
Is a totally different animal than Alex Ovechkin. Harden has not been regarded to one of the best players in the game for 10 years straight and had playoff failure after failure after failure.
He's choked a lot. He's choked a lot.
Really?
And he's probably going to be the MVP this year.
Harden.
I think he'll probably end up winning it. But
you don't think Russell Westbrook's going to win the MVP?
I would pick him, but I don't know. I think it's a two-headed monster right now, but Westbrook would not have allowed that to happen in his house last night.
And you know
night.
What, since
There's
you're
no
talking
way.
About that, Ovechkin can be compared to those guys and why a lot of coaches and we've talked a lot about it, say, when it's all about the one guy, that team never wins, man.
How much do you buy that stuff, though, with Ovechkin? Like, do you think that's real?
What?
I don't know. This, like, that his personality is the reason that they've lost every year. I don't know what to make of that.
I don't either, but they don't win. So you can have the guy that scores 60, 70, the guy that has triple doubles out as you know what.
But is that his fault?
I don't know.
Well, last night, Harden factored in significantly.
Harden was his fault.
Without Kawhi Leonard, without Tony Parker, in an elimination game in your own building, you play like that, that's going to set a tone. Clearly.
No, but I need to hear a jingle to cheer me up. I'm highly irritable right now.
You really are.
I know.
What happened?
I don't know.
I have cookies. Do you want some?
What are you, my grandmother?
Last time I was here, like, you couldn't get enough of them.
Do we have our jingle? Stuck in traffic, want to survive? Take a listen to Overdrive.
All right, let's get that frown turned upside down, man.
I think you guys just, I don't know.
What do I do it to you? We're just coming in here, we're talking, and you're so agitated.
You guys had a couple takes that rubbed me the wrong way. Tux is...
Well, that's the problem. Stop looking at your phone.
No, I'm not. It's fine. I'm fine.
You all right?
Yep.
Because we got Ross Atkins coming up here.
You can run that show.
He's going to join us in about 10 minutes. Get an update on Sanchez, who we believe will pitch on Sunday. What's the latest on Donaldson, too? Like, you can't get any news on what's going on with him. So we'll try to get to the bottom of that. Catch up with Ross Atkins in about 10 minutes. We got Jonas Siegel in here for the foreseeable future from the Canadian Press. Get back into Harden, Ovi, analytics, Trudeau. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. The Jays with another big win last night. 15 runs in the past two games with that lineup. I didn't think this lineup was going to score 15 runs over the next 2 weeks. You got to give them credit. They continue to plug away. And Ross Atkins will join us in about 5 minutes. We'll ask him if he's ever come across this kind of buildup on the DL. It's like the DVP during rush hour. They've got over $80 million worth of salary on the DL right now. It's crazy.
I've retired the DVP from my life.
How do you go north or south?
Well, I live at Park Lawn and Lakeshore. I am now going 427 up to the 401. I will never do the DVP again.
But that stretch of 401 kind of sucks too, no?
Well, that blows too. There's no other way around it. I cannot get on that DVP, and every time you go by the York, and it's just...
I hate it. It's the worst.
Dude, it's not right. It's not right. I'm miserable again. Even Creed couldn't take me to a new level.
I was a bit surprised. I think, like, Mullen usually knows what buttons to push, and he obviously was thinking, I need some Creed to get the big guy.
Can you not refer to me as the big guy?
Everything bothers you today.
I know, but...
The big guy? You don't like the big guy? All right, what do you want your nickname to be?
Just, you know what my nick, just, the, when you, it's like you say the big guy, it pisses me off. And I've been meaning to tell you for quite some time.
That it's condescending and patronizing, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
You're saying that I say it like literally the big guy.
Yes.
Not like a term
cat,
of endearment.
The big guy.
The medium guy. How's that sound?
No.
That's not good, eh?
All right.
Lay off the big guy crap, or I'm going to go nuts on you one day.
Ross Atkins in 2 minutes. We might have to fire up a poll here. What is more patronizing? Calling someone big guy? Big fella?
Big man?
Big man?
The big man?
Yeah, let's get that poll going, Steph. Which one is more patronizing?
I was in a cab in Miami a couple years ago, and this cab driver was describing one of his friends, and he said this to me. He's like, he was as big as you, if you could believe it. I looked at the cabbie. I was like, dude, you are...
That better have been an Uber, or he's not getting a tip.
It wasn't. He was like, he was as big as you, if you could believe it. And I was like, dude.
Yeah, relax. Anyway, The Jays, they keep plugging away, man. We know the start, 2-11, that is behind the eight ball, needless to say. But since then, they've been above 500. And all of this talent on the DL, I can't believe they scored 15 runs in the past two games. And that's
grinding
exactly what they've done. They're grinding away. Let's bring in the GM of the Blue Jays. Here is Ross Atkins. You must be pretty proud of your team right now, Ross.
What's up, Brian?
We're Jeff, doing okay.
How you guys doing? Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing good, Ross.
Yeah, man. These guys, they haven't backed down from the challenge. They plugged away. It's created some opportunities for guys like Ryan Goins and Joe Biagini, Mike Bolsinger, some names that we weren't talking about a ton this offseason, but can't say enough about what Kevin Pillar and Justin Smoke have done, too, not just over the last week, but this entire year. They've been remarkable. So if we can add JD and Russ and Tulo back into that lineup, Kendrys Morales should be in it soon, Smokey and KP stay on the same pace, we'll have a very good offense. And the opportunity it's created for some of the guys in our bullpen, and Ryan Tepera and Aaron Loop, Dominic Leon, those guys have really answered the bell as well. Joe Smith. So, there has been some silver lining, and I think it's the silver lining is starting to pay some dividends. And I'm really glad you guys didn't refer to me as the big guy when you brought me on.
You don't like that either, do you?
But Buddy's my least favorite.
Oh, yeah. Buddy.
I think you can throw in Chief as well, Ross.
Chief is terrible.
Doesn't that mean the guy doesn't know your name? Like, whenever you get a buddy, he has no idea what your name is.
Chief is the main, I don't know your name.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is pretty patronizing.
Ross, you just mentioned JD. Like, is there an update on him? He's kind of a guy that... I haven't heard much about. What's the update on Josh Donaldson?
Yeah, he's doing great. He's got all the weight on his calf. He's got all the range of motion and strength, and now it's just a matter of building him back up and getting reps. So, without any setbacks, I think we're within 2 weeks, and we'll see, because every day is more information. But we're extremely optimistic that he's playing in the month of May.
With Ross Atkins, GM of the Blue Jays, back in action tonight. Aaron Sanchez, John Gibbons just speaking with the media, and it sounds as if he's going to be ready to go on Sunday. In terms of what you expect out of him, coming into the season, there were a lot of people predicting that he would end up winning a Cy Young this year. When he gets off to the start he does simply because of the injury, how does it adjust what you expect out of him the rest of the way?
It really just comes down to, how long he's doing it. We expect similar performance when he gets back out here and built up. Again, he won't, come out of the gates and throw eight or nine innings. But I wouldn't be surprised if, he's pitching in the last game of the year, and it means everything for us. So because he's got the potential to be the best we have. And we still feel that way. Unfortunately, because of the fingernail, he's just pitched a little bit less.
Obviously, Russell Martin, a huge part of your team, and now that he's on the DL, it affects who's going to be behind plate every single night, but also it affects your pitching staff. What kind of adjustments have to be made in terms of the staff, in terms of the approach, in terms of a daily game plan when a guy like Russ is out of the lineup?
A couple of things. One, Luke Maley's been great. He's really I wish I would have mentioned him previously, because he's handled our pitchers as well as we could ask. It's the game calling, the leadership, the glove work. He had an incredible caught stealing. I think it was two nights ago. That was huge for us. So he's really filled in well for us. And I think one of the reasons he has is because Russ is by his side. Russ has helped him along the way. Pete Walker and Dane Johnson have obviously done a good job as well. But Russ is there with him in between innings. He's there with him before a game, after a game, exchanging ideas. And he's got the natural and fundamental ability to handle the information and maximize it. So we're really encouraged by the work. And, that we really can't say enough about the work that he's done.
Ross, you mentioned Kevin Pillar, and obviously we know him for his defensive kind of theatrics. Is there something that sticks out about him offensively right now? Like, is there anything that you've kind of pinpointed that's allowing him to have the success he's had?
He had after the playoffs last year, He made a commitment to his teammates, to us, that he was going to solidify a better approach and plan at the plate. And it's easy to say, it's easy to talk about, to say I'm going to be a more disciplined hitter, I'm going to go up with a more disciplined plan to get the best pitch possible and sell out on that than it is to do. And I think that's what he's doing. He is completely selling out to a plan and saying regardless of what happens. And, to simplify what that means, really, it's being okay with striking out. And for sometimes for young hitters coming into the game, that's really difficult for them to digest. That I'm going to go up there and it's going to be okay if I take the pitch that I wasn't looking for and turn around and walk back to the dugout. And he's getting deeper into counts. He's seeing more pitches. He's thinking along the lines with the pitcher and probably from time to time making really good decisions that puts him in a position to drive the ball. It's turned into walks, and so on-base percentage and slugging percentage is higher. It's a real easy thing for us in offices to talk about, and wow, we wish this guy was more disciplined. It's really hard to do, but he committed to it at the last game of the season last year. He worked on it all year, all off season, and I think now we're just seeing that hard work coming into play.
This is probably the deepest into an interview we've gone without bringing up Jose Bautista in quite some time. And leading into the season, obviously he was a focal point of conversation, and he has not been off to a good start. And there's a lot of people turning on him, a lot of people suggesting his age has finally caught up to him. I remember asking you before the season began, what makes you believe he can have a bounce back year? We're a month and a half into the season now. He has not bounced back yet. What continues to give you confidence that he will turn this around?
Yeah, I mean, all the things that, you know, you look at other than results, and they're all there. So obviously the track record is there. The work ethic is there. He had an incredible offseason. He's in incredible shape. The attention to detail is there. His commitment and his confidence and his pride, they're all there. So that's what gives us confidence that it will turn. I think, you know, we've seen, not just in the last couple of days where he's smoked balls and they've been right at guys or pulled, you know, hit the home run three nights ago, and not just those, but we've seen other signs that all of Jose Bautista is there, it's still in there. So, I think getting back our entire offense he'll benefit from as well. And never make any excuses for anyone, but just for context, I think we saw not only some very good pitching having played the Tampa Bay Rays as much as we did, having played the Cleveland Indians, having played, when we faced Baltimore, their pitching was actually extremely effective and guys were executing exceptionally well. So, it's not often that we look up and say, wow, Jose or Kevin Pierce or whoever it may be should have smoked that ball. And, Steve Pierce, Kevin Pillar, should have smoked that ball. I mean, a lot of times it's execution, but now it's the mistakes are being driven more readily, and Jose really looks like he's turning a corner.
With Ross Atkins, it really is incredible. Just prior to having you on, I said that your team has scored 15 runs in the past two games. Just based on the lineup, I mean, you just said it. Your offense, for the most part, is on the DL. I can't recall the last time I looked at a lineup card the way I did a few nights ago and said, I have no idea how they're going to win. I really don't. I mean, there's just so much talent on the DL. Have you ever come across a situation like this?
I haven't thought about it that way and gone back over my 20 years in baseball and said, okay, how many star players were on that, or 15 years in a front office were. I haven't thought about it that way, but I'm sure it's happened. If these guys don't have any more, if these guys need to get back onto the field and not have any setbacks, or that will be something that I've never experienced, but. Short-term injuries where guys are missing weeks and, maybe a month, that occurs often in baseball, and we have a few of them that have happened at once. But, for some context, Russell Martin could be playing at the end of 10 days. Morales didn't even go on to – Kendrys didn't even go on to the DL. So, that's just a part of it. We've had a lot of them in and around happen at one time, but – the other thing that I think draws attention to it is the 10-day DL. So not only the Toronto Blue Jays, but all teams more readily are using it because your player's not going to be out for 15 days. So now that, you know, the player that needs a week to recover from something soft tissue, or in the case of Russell Martin, a neck injury, you more readily will go to that 10-day. But there were many times last year that we just didn't play Russ for 3 or 4 days, or didn't play Tulo for a few, or didn't play JD for 3 or 4. And so when you have the 10-day, it's easier to use.
How concerned are you that age could be a part of the issue here with injuries? You guys are, if not the oldest team in the league, real close to it.
Yeah, it's really just, you know, there's a benefit to age, and I say this all the time and wholeheartedly believe it, that I love experience. I love what it means for the heartbeat, for guys as leaders. The guys play when a more veteran player is typically playing for one reason. They're waking up every day and playing through pain for one reason, is to win. So that's the upside of it, and I'll take that all day long. You'd rather have, ideally, a balance where you have all of those things. You have some youth, and you have usually what it means is a little bit more durability, you know, a little bit more speed potentially, but not always. So it just really depends. So we like our team. We like the way it projects. We feel like we have a chance to get this thing turned around, and really is age and a component that could have contributed to some of these injuries? Sure, could have.
All right, Chief. Thanks for doing
it, man. We can't end it like that.
All right, big guy. Yeah, there you go.
You guys
get your shot in now while you can. Appreciate it, Ross. Thank you for doing this as
always.
All right,
Brian. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
There he is, Ross Atkins. Robert texting and saying, Hayes, you are the worst with calling people buddy. You barely finish the word, and your laziness and apathy is just bleeding through the microphone. I don't think that's true, but...
You're the worst at calling people buddy?
I guess, but the thing is, if I do, generally it's a term of endearment. It's not because I don't know who I'm talking to. Like, if we have Jonas on, I might be like, all right, buddy, something like that, but not, I have no idea what your name is, so I'm calling you buddy. Sorry, Robert from Keswick. I'll try to improve just for you. Thanks again to Ross Atkins. Charlie texting in. Big guy really is the worst. It's the emptiest, most condescending D-bag thing to say to someone.
Yeah. Big man, big fella, big guy, big cat. Just all of it can go to hell.
All right. Well, I'll hold you to that.
I never say those things.
You've never said big guy.
No, you're always like, oh, the big man's back in his chair. I'm like, the big fella.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe I do. All right. Maybe Robert up in Keswick is onto something. How about that, Jonas?
I just don't want to say anything offensive in terms of calling you something.
Does anyone ever say to you, like, hey, little man?
No. That's actually interesting. No.
It doesn't go that way, though. That's not a term that people ever use.
So it's not fair. You're being discriminated against.
Little fella.
Right.
Yeah,
it's not fair.
The description,
okay,
the discrimination
fella,
goes away.
I don't. He does.
Yeah.
Well, I get it, too. Some people call me big guy or...
The big cat's not bad.
Yeah, it's a term of endearment. I would wear that with pride.
Andre Scalarago, wasn't he the big cat?
He certainly was.
Big sexy Bartolo Colon. He's going to be on the mound next week for Atlanta. Opening the series. Braves, Blue Jays. All right, Dave Poulin's going to join us around the table. We haven't had Pooley in studio in quite some time. So we'll catch up with him. Future headlines at 6:30 this afternoon. Thanks again to Ross Atkins, GM of the Blue Jays. They're back in action tonight, looking to continue this winning streak. You got to give them credit. I mean, all that talent, all that money on the DL, they keep plugging away. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app.
And now it's time for the 40-30 low center of gravity grit player of the game.
I'm a professional grinder.
We do have a little grit and grind when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
All right, grit grinders looking back on last night.
I'm going to go with Patrick Kane. Gave up his first class ticket on an airplane for a soldier. I have respect for that.
Brian, are you taking Justin Smoke?
I was thinking about it, but if you want to go with him, go ahead.
No. Well, I guess now I have to, because then...
You take Smoke.
I'll take Smoke, who leads the team in home runs and RBIs right now. Shocking.
He's been off to a, a great start. I mean, like Atkins said, if you can continue that when everyone else comes back, you move him down the lineup a little bit, obviously, and maybe the offense will really start humming. I'm going to go with another coach. Someone set the tone earlier in the week. I think it was you who picked Randy Carlisle as the grit grinder, although Jonas clearly would not
Randy
accept that.
Randy Carlisle was the man of steel.
Okay, well, I'm going with Greg Popovich.
Nice.
Because Pop and the Spurs got blown out in game one, and then all of a sudden it was going to be all Houston all the time, and they made adjustments, and last night they roll into Houston without Kawhi Leonard, without Tony Parker, and they win by 39. Pop is the man. Now, Golden State, I think, will beat up on San Antonio, but we'll get to the odds and what Vegas is saying about it. They are not showing Pop and the Spurs any respect. Any respect. The Warriors are minus 1,000 to win the series. So we'll get into that in the next hour. Future headlines at 6:30. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.